Welcome back, everyone. We're diving deep into Paul's letter to the Philippians today.
Excited to be here.
Specifically, those incredible words he wrote from prison in Philippians 1:12-26.
Ah, yes.
You know Dr. Daniel K. Darko. He has this amazing lecture series on the prison epistles.
Oh, his work is so insightful.
Really is. We're drawing from those lectures to explore how Paul viewed this awful situation as a chance to actually spread the gospel. It's kind of mind-blowing when you think about it.
It is. You know, what's remarkable isn't just like that he found ways to preach while he was stuck there,
yeah,
but how he saw his imprisonment as strategic, almost like God was using it for a purpose.
It's almost as if those who locked him up actually created this platform.
Absolutely. Dr. Darko points out how Paul's interactions with everyone, I'm talking prison guards, Roman officials, were all opportunities to share his faith. Like, wow, even in the toughest spots, we can still make an impact.
And it's not just Paul himself.
Right.
The other Christians, they were really emboldened by his actions.
Exactly. It's fascinating because Dr. Darko actually compares this, and it might seem strange at first, to the unintended consequences we see with, like, Al-Qaeda's violence.
Oh, interesting.
You know, tragically, how their horrible actions inspired more sympathizers.
Yeah.
Well, Paul being imprisoned, even though it was supposed to silence him,
right,
it had the opposite effect.
Yeah.
It pushed other believers to preach even more openly.
Wow. Talk about unintended consequences. It makes you think how even our response to bad things can have a huge ripple effect.
Definitely.
Okay, so there's this debate about the word praetorium.
Oh, yes, the praetorium debate.
Dr. Darko dives into it, right? Some scholars think it means a physical place, like the governor's palace or whatever.
Right, right.
But others think it's talking about a group of people, the elite imperial guards. What do you think?
Well, it's one of those puzzles the scholars love to argue about.
I bet.
Dr. Darko leans towards the imperial guard interpretation. And it's actually pretty convincing when you hear his reasoning.
Okay, I'm all ears.
So he suggests it refers to the soldiers actually guarding Paul.
Okay.
And because they switched out every 4 hours.
Oh, wow.
Paul basically had this constant new audience. Like, imagine that, a never-ending stream of people to share the gospel with.
A captive audience, quite literally.
Exactly. And Dr. Darko connects it to things we see today, like those intense work shifts, drug-sniffing dogs, for example.
Mm.
It helps us understand the rhythm of it.
Makes it so much more real. But hold on, things get a little messy here.
Oh.
Not everyone preaching at this time had, well, pure motives, right?
That's right. It seems like drama in the church is nothing new.
I guess not. What was going on?
Well, Dr. Darko points out that some individuals, even those who considered themselves followers of Christ.
Okay.
They were fueled by envy and rivalry towards Paul.
Wow, that's pretty rough.
It's wild to think, preaching the gospel, but with a side of jealousy.
It's like human nature, I guess.
It really is. It makes you realize some things never change.
So what did Paul do?
Well, it's amazing, actually. He saw right through it. You know, he calls them out in his letter.
Oh, he does.
But instead of getting caught in all that negativity,
yeah,
he focuses on the big picture. The fact that the gospel is being proclaimed at all is a pretty incredible level of grace, especially given everything else going on.
That's a huge lesson right there.
I think so.
It reminds me of that story Dr. Darko tells about the pastor and the man who keeps criticizing his wife.
Oh, yes. That's a good one.
It just shows we all have flaws and the church is a place for, you know, messy people trying to grow.
Exactly. We're all works in progress.
Absolutely. And sometimes we need a lot of grace to keep moving forward.
Couldn't agree more. It really does. It shows that we don't always have to be perfect. And we can still be part of something amazing, even with all our flaws. But let's talk about something that can be a bit confusing. Paul's view of life and death. He talks about both honoring Christ, which makes sense. But how does that work? This brings us to the idea of soteria, which we usually translate as salvation. But Dr. Darko points out that it has a deeper meaning here in Philippians.
Oh, so is he talking about being saved from prison? Or are we talking more about spiritual salvation?
That's the great thing. It's really up for interpretation, which makes it so fascinating. Some scholars believe Paul is hoping to be, you know, acquitted, like a real world get out of jail free card.
Yeah.
But others see this soteria as pointing towards heaven, regardless of what happens to him on earth.
So no matter what happens to Paul, he wins. That's a pretty awesome way to look at a bad situation.
I know, right? It's so powerful. Dr. Darko quotes a scholar named Gordon Fee, who says that soteria actually includes both meanings, the possibility of freedom here and now, but also that ultimate victory in heaven. Fee says, this whole affair will turn out to be my ultimate salvation and present vindication. It really shows you how strong Paul's faith was.
It's incredible. Dr. Darko even mentions a student in his class who was dealing with some really dark thoughts, thinking about suicide and everything. But Paul's words actually gave him hope.
It's really amazing that something written so long ago can still have such a powerful impact on people today.
For sure. So Paul's not just saying hang in there. He's talking about finding real purpose, even in the midst of suffering.
Yes. He wants us to let go of our own desires, even the desire to live, and focus on what really matters, honoring Christ in everything we do.
Okay. I'm really curious to hear more about what that actually looks like in Paul's situation.
Well, he actually writes, "It is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death." So basically, he's ready for anything as long as it brings glory to Christ.
That's a pretty powerful statement. But to really understand what he's saying, we have to remember how important honor and shame were in Roman culture, right?
Oh, absolutely. Dr. Darko explains this really well. Honor was everything in Roman society. You had the honor you were born with, based on your family, and the honor you earned through your actions. And bringing shame on yourself or your family, that was like the worst thing you could do.
So when Paul says he wants to honor Christ in his body, even if it means death, he's making a huge statement about his priorities.
Yes. He's basically saying that his own reputation, his own life even, it all takes a backseat to glorifying Christ. It's a radical commitment that makes you think about what's truly important in our own lives, especially when things get tough.
Right. And this connects back to the idea that Paul's imprisonment actually helped spread the gospel, because his willingness to suffer for his faith became such a powerful example to those around him.
It's true. Sometimes our greatest influence comes not from our positions or our achievements, but from how we act when things are falling apart. And that story Dr. Darko tells about the student who was contemplating suicide but found hope in Paul's words, that just shows how powerful this message really is. It shows that no matter how much pain we're going through, there's always hope in Christ.
Yeah.
But we also have to remember that Paul wasn't some superhuman, you know? He wasn't just gritting his teeth and pretending everything was fine. Dr. Darko points out that Paul actually asks for prayers from the Philippians all the time.
That's a good reminder that it's okay to ask for help, especially when we're struggling. Paul knew he needed support, and he knew the power of prayer.
Exactly. He wasn't afraid to admit that he needed strength and encouragement. And it wasn't just prayer that helped him. Dr. Darko also talks about how the Holy Spirit gave Paul the strength and courage to face his imprisonment with a positive attitude.
It's like he's saying, okay, things are really bad right now, but I'm not going to let that define me. I'm going to choose to see this as a chance to grow and show the power of the gospel. It's a message that speaks to all of us today, don't you think?
Absolutely. We all face difficult situations and it's easy to get discouraged. But Paul reminds us that we don't have to go through those things alone. We have a God who loves us, a Savior who's already overcome everything, and a Holy Spirit who gives us strength to live with hope and joy, even when things are hard.
And that brings us to another important point that Dr. Darko talks about Paul's desire to be with Christ. He actually sees death as a good thing, like moving on to something better. But he also knows that he's needed here on earth for the sake of the Philippian church.
He actually says, "My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better." But then he goes on to say, "But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account." He's torn between this desire for heaven and his commitment to helping others here on earth.
It's like that tension we all feel as Christians, right? We're called to be in the world, but not of it. We have this hope for heaven, but we're still living here on earth. It can be a tough balance, but it's also what gives our lives meaning.
I think you're right. It's in that space between heaven and earth that we find the motivation to live lives that honor God and make a difference in the world.
And I think that's really the heart of what Paul is trying to say to the Philippians. He's not just teaching them how to survive suffering, but how to find real joy and purpose in the middle of it.
Exactly. He wants us to see that even in our darkest moments, God is still working. He can use our trials for his glory and for our good. It's a message we need to hear today more than ever.
Especially with so much negativity in the world, it's easy to feel overwhelmed and lose hope. But Paul reminds us that we're not alone in our struggles.
That's so true. We have a God who's always with us, even when things are tough, and we can always find strength and hope in him.
Yeah, it's like a permission slip to be real about the struggles, but not let them, you know, drag us down completely. But I gotta say, the idea that suffering could be like a good thing. It's a tough one to swallow.
Yeah, I get that. It's not easy to see the upside when you're in the thick of it, right?
Yeah.
But Dr. Jarko makes this point that while we never choose to suffer, it can, strangely enough, bring us closer to God. He uses this really cool analogy about how diamonds are formed.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. It's about pressure, right?
Exactly. You take a lump of coal, put it under immense pressure, and boom, you get this precious, sparkling diamond. It's a powerful image, right?
It really is.
And Dr. Darko suggests that, in a way, our struggles can do something similar for us. They can refine us, make us more like Christ. It's not about enjoying the pressure, of course, but about letting God use it to shape us.
So it's less about, like, liking the pain and more about finding some purpose in it.
Exactly. Like Paul is saying, don't let your suffering go to waste. Let God work through it, you know.
Make you stronger on the other side. But what does that actually look like, you know, in real life? How do we build that kind of resilience?
Well, Paul's a pretty good example, right? He didn't let being in prison destroy him. He didn't pretend everything was sunshine and roses, but he didn't let his circumstances control him either. Instead, he took it as a chance to grow, to help others, and to share his faith, even from behind bars.
He found a way to bloom, even in what seemed like the worst possible soil.
It's incredible, right?
It reminds me of that quote, everything can be taken from a man but one thing. The last of the human freedoms to choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances, to choose one's own way. I think it was Viktor Frankl who said that.
Wow, that's powerful.
And I think Paul really embodies that, you know?
I agree. He chose his response, and it's inspiring. And Dr. Darko emphasizes that Paul's imprisonment, in a way, it actually spread the gospel further. It wasn't despite his suffering, but almost because of it.
That really flips the script on how we usually think about success, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really does. It reminds us that we don't have to wait for the perfect situation to live out our faith or to make a difference.
We can choose resilience, find meaning in our struggles, and have faith that God is at work, even when we can't see the whole picture.
Absolutely. And that brings us to the question that Dr. Darko leaves us with. It's one that we can all benefit from thinking about. How can we, like Paul, find opportunities to share our own beliefs and values, even when things are tough?
It's a challenge to be more intentional, right? To really live out our faith, not just talk about it. This has been an incredible deep dive. Paul's letter to the Philippians is just so full of wisdom and encouragement, and Dr. Darko's insights have made it so much more, well, real and relatable.
It has been a really great discussion. I hope our listeners found it insightful and maybe even a little challenging. And if anyone wants to go deeper, I highly recommend checking out the rest of Dr. Darko's lectures. He covers all the prison epistles, and they're just packed with fascinating stuff.
Great advice. Until next time, everyone, keep searching for truth and keep diving deep.